This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive.
What's going on, Derek?
What's up, man? Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. We were just joking about the intro, and I brought it up yesterday.
Good move on your part.
I did, but I botched it. I was thinking about it in hindsight, and I was like, okay, I kind of planned it during the break. I'm going to cut in front of Lon, which is
an alpha move for sure.
I wouldn't say hard to do, but
it's not easy. I'm not sure if it's hard, but it's not easy.
Because pretty much, yeah, the intro, which is great. I've gotten texts about it. The original one was awesome, and then this one. We're definitely flexing our muscles with the name drops of all the guests we've had.
The content of the names is great.
Right.
It's just that 98% of the names is said by the same person.
It's Lon's greatest hits.
There's a part of it where he almost says it with the same inflection every time to where it sounds like I just asked him to walk in there and rattle off names. I swear I clipped all those from the episodes. I didn't just ask him to read off names, but it kind of sounds like it at a certain point.
We need a little bit more emotion, like introduce someone right. Like you introduced Scott Frost. Scott Frost!
So next time we have an ordinary guest on the line, I just want you to introduce them. Like okay. Kevin Wheeler at 4:30, but then say it weirdly.
Okay.
Kevin Wheeler? Just throw it in there.
See, what I did was I said Coach Underwood. I didn't say Brad Underwood. Not that people wouldn't recognize that.
Right.
But in terms of...
But the full name didn't get out there.
Yeah.
That's okay. I think people know who you're talking about.
I got a little too excited.
Hey, it's weird. It's like suddenly you get power hungry when Lon shuts up for a second. Speaking of which, we've got like 10 minutes without Lon here, so... You know, if there's anything you need to say, go ahead and say it.
Well, the thing is, we know that he's on the way.
He's en route, yeah.
He likes to listen in the car, so
he does.
I know that
he's judging us.
He's probably got us on, but...
We're watching TBT.
Yeah.
We were trying to figure out Boeheim's Army because, you know, they're named after Jim Boeheim. They've got him there in the corner of the screen being interviewed, but I don't think he has any actual, like, official affiliation with the team.
Right. I don't know if that'd be allowed...
Oh, maybe
it
wouldn't.
One question I had because I know that with Illinois' TBT team, they had some issues as far as donations, covering travel expenses originally maybe committed or thought they were going to get it from the program, and then the compliance was like, no, I don't.
I don't get that, though, because they're professional now, right? So they're just guys.
Right.
It'd be one thing if it was like a high school thing. Then I totally understand why Brad Underwood couldn't coach that team for conflict of interest and whatever else. But, I mean, what could Brad possibly say to Mike Dom that would have any significant? You know what I mean? I don't really get it.
It's funny that TBT, when Mike Dom was added, announced him as a grad transfer.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, grad transfer, huh?
So he's got eligibility left is what you're telling me.
You'd hope. I was going to ask Brad, it was just going to be a waste of a question, if a Mike Dom would fit in his offense.
I mean, that's what we thought. That's what we envisioned Finke, right, when Brad got hired. I feel like he was like the number one focal point of the offseason in terms of guy that might most benefit from the Underwood system, or at least what we presumed the Underwood system would be.
A spaced out system, opportunities obviously to shoot the three. Mike's not as skilled as Mike, I guess you would say. I mean,
that's not even a shot at him. It's just
it's not.
Dom is so good.
Again, we're talking about the seventh all-time leading scorer in civil history, so that's not too big of a shot, of course. We've had some nice names, again, coming back to that, with Dom, seventh in NCAA. We had Demetri McCamey, who is seventh in Illinois history. And today we have number three.
Number three, yeah.
Number three, Malcolm Hill.
Man, we're just racking it up. I need you to say Malcolm Hill at 5:05.
I will say Malcolm Hill.
You can say it however you want.
I won't say but... Mr. Hill, Captain Hill.
Malk. Anyways, we were watching the Boeheim's Army, and you said that they're running a 2-3 zone.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
Which
I wanted to pay attention here now that they're in the second half.
Yeah, they are.
And Purdue is at a measly 34 points here early second half, 44-34. This is what we're going to do tomorrow, by the way. We're just practicing.
Correct. This is a dry run.
We will have House of Pain on against Carmen Screw. A huge game.
From 3 to 5, right?
The game will be on 3 to 5.
So the first hour of our show will be the second half of that game.
Right.
Oh, I hope it's close.
So it's one of those where I know a lot of people like to cue up the radio with the TV. You know, Brian Barnhart, if you're doing that for Illini games.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we welcome you to do the, we're not going to have the
There's
exact
always,
play-by-play. It's going to be more reactionary.
Well, but and also this is an ESPN property.
Right.
The game. So, you know, unlike, because when we were doing the show, I think it was, when were they in Maui? Last year or the year before?
And, 2 years ago.
And it was Illinois-Iowa State, and it started at like 3:30. But that game was on, I forget what it, well, no, that would have been ESPN. There was some game that was on Big Ten Network. And there's some, you know, legality to where we can't just sit here and play-by-play a game that's on Big Ten Network for obvious reasons, because then maybe someone doesn't pay for Big Ten Network, so then they listen to us for free, and we're basically calling the game. But because we're an ESPN...
Yeah, we don't need all that.
Because
we don't need the bill for that.
Yeah, no most definitely. Because we're an ESPN affiliate, and it's on ESPN and also on ESPN Radio... You know, we can describe it because we're only stealing from ourselves, really.
Definitely.
So yeah, we'll kind of be doing a pseudo play by play, a DVD commentary, if you will, of the second half tomorrow.
Isaac Haas looks skinnier.
He does
a little bit thinner for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, still massive.
No, he's a big dude, but he does look skinnier. I'm trying to figure out who else I recognize from the Purdue team.
There's a little point guard. From this distance, I could convince myself it's Lewis Jackson, but I know it's not.
Yeah, I know it's not either. Hoskett.
Evan Boudreau, that's unmistakable hair, unless Brian Cardinal's still playing.
Didn't Lon say that, it's not Klein. Klein?
Brian Klein.
Is on this team, too?
Yeah, where's Klein at against the 2-3 zone?
I don't know. He needs to be out there. Boudreau's bald spot is distracting me. Syracuse has a pretty good team.
Yeah. Eric Devendorf is one. I know you didn't necessarily recognize that name, but knew it was familiar.
I knew it was familiar, but I couldn't remember where he went or.
I looked up when he played, 05 through 09.
Okay,
so you weren't that old.
That was the on the fringe of my real fanatic sports following. I joke that I first got into Illinois football and basketball in a fanatic sense in 2008, which was like the worst possible time I could have because I just missed. The Final Four, obvious championship game, and then I just missed the Rose Bowl, so it's been a heck of a ride.
Yeah, I can relate a little bit there where I was in middle school for the Final Four run, high school for the Rose Bowl, and then I'm like, I'm going to Illinois.
Right.
I'm going to be in the Orange Crush. I'm going to, the sports, I don't even care about the education.
Right.
I'm just going to be in the student section and enjoy all the sports. And
little did you know.
I did have Dimitri reminisced about the college game day experience.
Yep.
It was really cool.
And back-to-back bowl games, right? Or was that just past your time? Because 10 and 11 was the one against Baylor and the one against UCLA. Not that you went to those, but...
No. I do remember some decent teams there. Nate Shieldhouse, Ron Zook.
I mean, the one was 6-0 against Ohio State for that Stripe the Stadium game.
Yep.
Not that that turned out.
I was there in the north end zone for Fresno State.
Oh.
Different year, right? Or same year?
No, that was the year before, but that was it almost so bad that it was funny, that game, just because it's the last game of the year. So first of all, right off the bat, you had the Ron Gunther scheduling thing where you're like, why are we playing a non-conference opponent
in November
as the last game of the year? Like, it just didn't make any sense. And they were coming from California. Like, neither team wanted anything to do with that game, trust me, because I don't think Fresno State was that great that year. I mean, they were good, but they weren't winning the Mountain West. And Illinois was what?
I don't think they had Derek Carr.
No, they did not. Not at that time.
I had to look it up.
I'm pretty sure Derek Carr was not the one who carved you up that time. But Illinois was 2-9 coming into that game. So it's like, No, they were 3-8 with the chance to go to 4-8 and they lost. Anyways, with the offensive linemen catching the two, I mean, that was just, you couldn't write it up any more absurd than that.
Mm.
Good memories.
Yeah, I know. Let's talk a little bit more TBT. I was looking at the bracket here. And it looks like you put, I keep wanting to say put money, but you have a stake in.
It's free.
The Golden Eagles.
It's not even really betting, but.
Right.
Right. Yes.
Marquette, if you sign up to be a fan, you will get a portion of their winnings.
Well, the $50,000.
Right.
That they
probably not as much as had D. Wade been playing, but.
Yeah, see, that was my sort of like, I felt like when we had Jake on, Pavorsky, the TBT, you know, PR guy, and he sort of hinted that Dwayne Wade might be coming, I thought like, okay, so I'm like ahead of the curve right now with this knowledge. No one else knows this, and I was starting to look at, because they show you the dollar amount per team that you would get if you chose that team to win, and some of them weren't very good. Like, Carmen's crew is down to like $13, which, I mean, I'll take $13, but it's not great value from a Trev's ticket perspective, if you know what I mean.
There you go.
So I was looking at the teams that I thought would do really well, and Marquette by far had the fewest fans of like the top 5 to 6 seeds. And then he says that about Dwayne Wade, and I'm thinking, well, shoot, they might be the favorite in a week or two. So I just thought that was the value pick. But
yeah, D-Wade's not coming out of quarantine to get beat. Yeah,
exactly. Now, they did win yesterday, correct?
They advanced.
Okay.
So they are now into the going to the second round or third round?
Second round for them, but the third round
overall.
They got a bye. Now, would that be the team that tomorrow's winner plays between Carmen's Crew and Illinois?
Efforting, live, Lante.
Hey, Lon's here. What's up, Lon?
Hi, guys.
You listened to the show on the way over? No.
I did. I heard you. I was waiting for you to just start saying what you needed to say. You know, I was like, let's hear it. I want to hear this.
Derek finally had his moment alone in the spotlight. I kind of wanted to mute Lon, just like he did yesterday when he didn't give me a chance to respond to the Cubs-Cardinal thing.
Just see me talking, but you can't actually hear me?
Right. Although, I will give you credit, Lon, with the silhouette or the shadow
it's
of
hard.
The reflection, not the silhouette, of the outside on this glass, I can barely see you.
It's hard.
And you're kind of lowered
because
of the computer screens. Not that, I mean, that's great that we got the screens here, but I'm having a hard time telling whether or not you're talking in there.
This is a good life lesson. You should never judge someone until you've walked in their shoes.
Yeah.
Right?
That's deep and fair.
That's deep and fair, even though I completely judge people immediately.
Even though you don't abide by that advice at all.
No.
Are you coming in here or what's happening?
No, I'll just stay here.
Oh, you're good? All right.
Let me just do the show in here. This is kind of cool.
See, now you're the one who's being the quarantine worry wart with a room to yourself in there. I was considering coming in here with you guys tomorrow because the TV's in here.
Oh, that's right.
So no squirrel opportunities for you.
Right.
That's going to be tough.
I'm going to have to rearrange a monitor for you so you can see it.
I know. Justin Dentman, by the way. Is that his name, Dentman? He was a Carbondale guy. Went to Washington. He's on the Minnemackie.
Oh. All right.
So there you go. Purdue just continues to steal small point guards from the state of Illinois. Lewis Jackson, like Derek said, Justin Dentman. He was good, too. He had like 28 in the first game.
Has your team played?
No, they play.
Money team?
I think they play tomorrow.
For the first time?
Yes.
Wow. All right.
It's weird.
This is a high-level game,
against,
by the way.
The Marshall Heard Thats.
Marshall's the coach who's all weird, right? D'Antoni's brother.
D'Antoni's brother.
Who wears what is he? He wears
I should know this.
Like a regular t-shirt, but underneath a suit jacket.
Yes.
For the game, and it is just.
He wears a dry fit, what the players would wear while they're in the gym with their version of Fletch.
Yes.
And then he puts a suit coat on top of that.
What are the chances of having, in college sports, having a D'Antoni and a D'Antonio? That's not exactly a common
confusing.
Name. It does get confusing. And did your boy Max Christie go to Michigan State?
He did.
I was kind of avoiding that.
I don't know if he was my boy, but.
Well, you know what?
It doesn't really feel like a loss to me because I feel like Illinois was never in it. Is that wrong to say?
The only way it's a loss is that the expectation was he's going to Duke, and now he's in the Big Ten.
Big Ten, yeah, okay.
I think the text I saw today, not the text, the tweet, said something like he picks Michigan State over Duke, and Duke wasn't even in his top five is what somebody said. But that's what it's like. I mean, Krzyzewski just comes into Illinois whenever he wants and gets the number one player, right? I mean, I guess he deserves it.
Traditionally,
You mean Michigan State wasn't in his top five?
No, Michigan State was, but Duke wasn't. But the headline said he picked Michigan State over Duke, and somebody responded and said, well, Duke wasn't even in his top five, so why would you put that in the headline?
I mean,
does that make sense?
Duke wanted him. Duke offered.
I thought
they offered him fairly early.
That's what I thought.
A lot of people thought it was done.
Yeah. Ah, frustrating.
Doesn't he have a younger brother, too?
Yes. I don't know. I haven't seen him. But he's in the Illinois Wolves program. And
does he have an older brother, Doug? Did anybody get that joke?
I have no idea what you're
talking
about.
Doug Christie.
Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, baby.
No clue.
Does Mike Dom have a younger brother is what I want to know.
Oh, my.
I don't even care if he's played basketball before. I'll take the genetics.
Just take him. That would be incredible. We're going to talk to Kevin Wheeler, aren't we?
Yes.
I'm excited about that. And then Malcolm. Malcolm Hill.
You know what's
Hill.
Funny about the feel of this?
It's weird,
You're
isn't
completely
it?
Off being in that room, and I'm completely off sitting here. And I have no idea why. It makes zero difference whatsoever who's sitting where.
I know.
But for some reason, it's just a different dynamic when you're in there, correct?
Here's what sounds great, is when I'm not here, Derek just takes the lead and goes, and you guys sound wonderful. And then I get here, and then I just immediately just start talking again.
But you're, like, physically distanced from us this time, so it's harder for you to take over, which maybe we should just keep it this way.
Exactly. Know? Maybe we should.
Stick him in the other room permanently.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah, it is kind of strange, but I'm excited to talk to Malcolm Hill. I'm excited about this. I cannot wait for this game tomorrow. Number one, it's like I was excited about the first House of Pain game. I think we all were, and like Derek said, it was on a July 4th. You were able to do a little pregame. That won't be the case tomorrow for us.
At least for us, yeah.
But the idea that this is a big game for this team and for a lot of Illini fans. Is it bigger because it's Ohio State? So if this team was ranked number one, Carmen's crew, and they were just a bunch of Pitt Panthers, let's say, would it be as big of a game, or is it bigger because it's Aaron Kraft?
It is bigger because it's Ohio State.
Totally, right?
You know these guys.
David Leidy, John Diebler.
I'm used to hating these guys.
Ugh. What did John this is the kind of question I ask you, and I'm the one that can now look it up.
You're going to have to type it in.
John Diebler could not miss from the three-point line.
I think he was the all-time leading scorer in Ohio high school basketball history or something like that.
He was so
Aaron
good.
Aaron Kraft is really annoying.
He is.
That year when they upset Michigan in the Big Ten tournament at the buzzer, right? And then Illinois took him to double overtime.
Evan Turner
lost.
Hit the half-court shot. Ohio State was the one.
Okay, so
Michigan
was
almost upsetting them. And then Illinois needed to win one more game.
Yep, that's all they needed.
Wisconsin.
They were like first out of the bracketology.
I think it was double overtime.
And they had the final shot at the end of regulation and the first overtime. The first one, Mike Davis, he got like a lob and finished it, but it was too late. And the second one, Brandon like hoisted a three and it didn't go in. But just to think that you were literally seconds away from a quality win and getting into the tournament that year.
Mm.
Yeah, I was looking that stuff up when I wrote the Dimitri McKamey article, which I think part of why disrespect isn't the right word, but maybe don't put him in the same light as maybe where he should be.
Right.
If you look at the finishes, two of his years they didn't go to the tournament, and they were horrible his first year.
Right.
And then the year they were like a 5 seed, they got beat by Western Kentucky.
Yep. And then the last year was
very anticlimactic. Yeah. And your expectations, we mentioned it, all those pieces that were on that team with Paul and Richardson joining, McKamey, Davis, Tisdale, and you had, I know freshman Myers didn't do much. Freshman Richmond, there was a lot of hype, even with Crandall. And they made it the second round and lost to Kansas. That was it.
It was really unnotable.
Like, yeah.
The UNLV game was sort of a blowout, and the Kansas game was a blowout the other way. I don't think back to that tournament with any particular moment like, oh, that was sweet. So, yeah, to your point, it's weird that the tournament legacy matters that much to a guy who's like one of the best scorers in Illinois history, but it does. Because
really
I don't really remember his career the way I probably should.
And you know what's weird for me is when you take that decade where Illinois made the tournament every year, when you had guys like Lucas, Corey, and Frank, and et cetera, then I don't even take into account their NCAA tournament. Like, you just knew they were going to make the tournament. So then you almost held what they did individually during the season as higher regard than you did because it was just a shoe-in. It was automatic that those teams would make the tournament. So it's kind of weird. And now that Illinois hasn't made it, and to be fair, they would have this last year. So is this an asterisk?
How annoying is that going to be, by the way?
It's going to be very
annoying.
Because
technically they didn't.
Technically they're still on a drought.
So there's going to be a graphic at some point on ESPNU during a game where Illinois is on a 7-year tourney.
Hasn't been to the tourney since 2013.
That's exactly right.
Although I guess like Rutgers it's even worse because theirs is like 1990.
Yeah.
And they didn't technically get in.
I still say though I'd be more frustrated if I was like Dayton. Right? Because Dayton was going to be they were going to be a 1.
Chance for them.
Yeah. Were they going to be a 1 or a 2?
A 1 for sure.
A 1 for sure. And then, you know, how often? I know Dayton is a very good basketball program. But how often are they that good to where it's almost like the Butler years when they made the back-to-back NCAA finals? That was kind of like Dayton's time to shine, and Butler got the chance to do it. Dayton didn't. And so now the number one guy's gone, right? He's out.
Mm-hmm.
He's going pro. So now all of a sudden Dayton falls back to where, again, still a good basketball team, maybe still a tourney-worthy team, but yet not a team that's going to be the number one seed in the NCAA tournament. That would burn me more, I think, than it would just not making the tournament. Although Illinois fans like me are proud when they make the tournament, and it's been way too long. I agree. John Diebler, by the way. Diebler holds the Ohio high school career scoring record and the Ohio State University and Big Ten career three-point field goal records. He also tied Chris Hill for Big Ten single-game three-point record. That guy just is annoying. Just annoying.
It's just going to be very easy to rechannel all that annoyance
for sure.
Ohio State and all those guys.
Oh.
I'm glad Solinger's not playing.
Yeah,
just
amen.
Just because of how much of a beast he was inside.
Amen.
And I, as you look back, Thad Mata had a heck of a run.
Oh,
there.
My. From Hoopston?
Yeah.
Andrew saw, he met a couple of kids from Hoopston the other day. I said, you know, that's where Thad Mata's from. He's like, who's that? I'm like, man, that didn't age well.
I mean, he did just kind of disappear, right? He was like, was he injured or something? He had something where
he had a bad leg.
Yeah, he couldn't sit on the stool on the sideline.
It was a foot problem.
Or foot, yeah.
It was like club foot.
It was like a mutually agreed retirement.
Yeah.
And then I think his name popped up for like Ole Miss or something, and then it just didn't.
For him to still get paid, I think, by Ohio State, he had to look for... actively looking for a job. He was just thrown in like the Georgia job or like UNLV, and he wasn't going to go there.
Can you imagine being his agent? Like, hey, here's a resume for Thad Mata, but he's
North
not going to
take
the job.
AT&T.
You're right.
Or not AT&T, A&T.
But please do not offer him the job because we do not want it. By the way, Diebler started 115 games during his time at Ohio State, including every game since the start of his sophomore year. He was just that dude, right? He was always the guy in the starting lineup, and it's like he's gonna knock down four threes at least, and you hope he doesn't hit seven. That was kind of how he was. You mentioned Jared Solinger. You kids are too young, but North Carolina used to have a guy back in the 80s when Illinois was really good by the name of J.R. Reed. They were, I swear, they were the same player. You know, they were kind of not they were undersized to play the position, but both very strong.
Yeah.
Both had incredible games in terms of, you know, the what am I trying to say? Just the moves they had underneath. I mean, they were so skilled at getting shots off and just making you pay for everything. But that was J.R. Reed, and it seemed like Illinois ran into J.R. Reed all the time back in the 80s with, like, Kendall and those guys. And that's just – Jared Solinger was the guy that reminded me of him. Now, he didn't play with Odin, right? That was Odin and Conley were after him.
No, I mean,
or before, I mean,
yeah,
before him. I mean, before, yeah.
But between Odin and him, it felt like they had a stud center for like 8 years there.
Yes,
they B.J.
did.
Mullins in there.
Oh, my.
I don't know how good he actually was, but
now Solinger's
very
just
high.
Fat and old.
Yeah, right, right. You know, I just realized it's fat, 428.
Yeah.
Evan Turner made Illinois pay like heck
for sure.
Letting him go out there.
What's your take on a Cardinals situation before we go to the break? The Cardinals schedule. Talk to me.
Not getting to play the Cup.
What? What's that? Oh, I can't hear him.
Interesting.
Sorry, go ahead.
That was pretty good.
Go ahead.
Not having anything to say was different.
Yeah, that was hard. That was really hard. Only playing the Cubs three.
Dear area chiropractors, we the team members.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Two Men in a Truck apologize for potentially taking businesses away from you. We know that every move we perform with our professionally trained movers who use proper lifting techniques may take a patient from you. Less muscle strains, fewer back out of whacks, but many happily moved clients. Keep up the great work, area chiropractors. We support you. Sincerely, your friends at Two Men in a Truck and twomenchampagne.com. That's a smart move.
The Long Branch is open. The Long Branch is open. Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford is now reopened for indoor seating. Stop by and let Donnie cook you up terrific steaks, burgers, pork chops, ribs, and so much more. The wait is finally over because Long Branch Steakhouse is now open for indoor seating. And with their full regular menu available, you simply can't go wrong. Stop by Wednesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. and let Donnie give you a meal you won't soon forget at 310 South Main Street, downtown Gifford.
It's that time of the year.
Summer's here, and millions of Americans will reach for sunscreen. Recent FDA findings and scientific studies indicate that ingredients found in most chemical sunscreens may cause damage to humans and the environment. In fact, the state of Hawaii has already banned some of these chemicals. To choose a safe sunscreen, look for one with an active ingredient of non-nano zinc oxide or non-nano titanium dioxide. For more information, visit SafeSunscreenCouncil.org. That's SafeSunscreenCouncil.org.
PDR is a AAA Chicago Motor Club approved facility right here in Central Illinois. They have an esteemed community reputation, a great facility appearance, and amazing customer service. Plus, the staff is trained and qualified, has the most up-to-date equipment working on your vehicle, a wide scope of services, and warranty coverage. Stop into the AAA Chicago Motor Club approved facility, PDR Automotive on North Cunningham in Urbana, or call them at 367-9481.
Hi, my name is Matthew Gordon, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Mettler Center. COVID-19 hasn't stopped pain and injury, and it hasn't stopped physical therapy either. Telehealth can bring physical therapy to you while you stay home and flatten the curve. Our goal is to make the experience simple and stress-free. To help, we are offering the first telehealth session free of charge because we believe it is an essential part of the healthcare system right now. To get started today, visit MettlerCenter.com.
Put your faith into action while helping build a home with a local family. Habitat for Humanity of Champaign is seeking volunteers for our 2020 Faith Build, sponsored by Thrivent Financial. The build kicks off on Wednesday, July 8th with a four-day mini blitz build, then moves to Saturdays throughout the summer and fall. Habitat home builds are a great opportunity to learn some construction basics or donate your construction skills while helping make affordable housing a reality for our local family. To sign up for a shift or for more information, please visit CUHabitat.org.
Has COVID canceled your summer plans? Sign your kids up for summer camps teaching science, technology, engineering, the arts, and mathematics through unique curriculums. Learn how to take your idea and translate it into something that can change the world in the invention camp, or learn basic graphic design skills in the digital art camp. And don't miss out on the drones and things that fly camp. These camps have limited availability, so be sure to sign your kids ages 8 to 12 up at steamcamper.com/book online. Steam Camper. Summer Camp Reimagined.
Isaac Haas just causing problems.
They're not going to kick him out, are they?
I don't know. He just, like, literally almost just threw an elbow. Well, not almost. He threw an
elbow into the guy's face. He's trying to take a charge. Shouldn't be taking charges in the TBT. If you're Andres Feliz, I'm okay with that.
He just said, OMG. So I wonder if that means he's been booted.
Flagrant 2?
Maybe they don't kick him out of the TBT. Maybe they that's shouldn't. Only... I mean, you wouldn't think, right?
I mean, unless it was...
Really,
Alan Griffin at Purdue.
Right. Just stepping on a dude. All right, it is The Drive with Say and Piper. Thanks for handling segment one.
No problem.
Those work-related issues come into play every once in a while. And,
no issues, man.
Text you guys late, but I knew you could, you'd be well doing it. So Malcolm Hill at 5:05. Excited to talk to Malcolm, get his thoughts on game one of the TBT, and then also the game tomorrow against Carmen's Crew, the number one seed, a bunch of Ohio State dudes against a bunch of Illinois dudes and a few others.
Demetri McKamey mixed in there.
Oh, yeah. And Demetri on the other team. So that should be fun. Right now, we're going to talk some baseball. We got all excited yesterday because Trevor, I don't know that I've ever been excited just to have a piece of paper sat down in front of me, except maybe the first paycheck I ever received while I was walking beans when I was like 10. Then that was pretty cool. I was like, wow, that's mine? That's my money. So yesterday, Trevor walks in while we're on the air and sets down the schedule for both the Cardinals and the Cubs, and I got extremely excited about that. Today, we're going to welcome in from MLB Network, SiriusXM. The guy's too big for our show, but he still joins us. I don't know why. Kevin Wheeler, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, and there's zero chance that I'm too big for any show.
I don't know. You are so talented, and we love having you on for this. I love especially having Kevin Wheeler on when there's actual games, so he can break down. That's your expertise. I love watching you break down, or listening to you, I'm sorry, breaking down pitches, et cetera. But break down the schedule. I mean, how excited were you, Kevin, to get that schedule, I guess? I know we've kind of been in this standstill of, are we going to have baseball? Are we going to, or, you know, are we not? And then all of a sudden we get the schedule, and yet they're still in the back of your mind, like, really? Are we really going to do this? But I was excited to finally get it and just kind of see what, you know, see something on paper.
Yeah, I wasn't all that big on analyzing them. I was just happy to see it. Like, I was happy, all right, there's a day I can watch games on TV, and there's a day I can watch games on TV, and there's a day I can watch games on TV. Like, I really needed that last night. I think all of us probably did, because all during the day yesterday, it was all about how the testing keeps getting screwed up. Right. You had like five teams shut down their camps for a day because the test didn't get processed. And at least last night, we could have a little fun kind of looking forward to what we all still, you know, fingers crossed, knock on wood, hope is going to be starting up here in a couple of weeks.
Kevin, at what point can we get excited about certain matches? Maybe the first game, maybe that's what it is. But is there a marker there in the lead up, or is it just kind of a week by week? Let's just make sure this isn't off the tracks.
When they actually throw the first pitch of the first game between the Yankees and the Nationals, we can start to get excited, right? I think it's all right now to look ahead and have fun with it. It's just so frustrating, you know, every single day there's some kind of news, and, you know, we're still waiting to see. There are a lot of players, I think, are still going to opt out. So, you know, I we're going to have some kind of ups and downs, I would think, over the next 2.5-3 weeks. But, yeah, I'd say the day before the first game, it doesn't even have to be the first Cardinals game, although right. That one will be fun too. But like the day before is going to feel like Christmas Eve, right? It's going to feel like New Year's Eve, back when New Year's Day was when all the college football got settled. It's that build up to the night, but that night before is going to be pretty awesome.
I don't want to bring this all into a Cardinals discussion. I want to talk to you about the Cubbies as well, and maybe some of the other teams in this division that the Cardinals will play. But I read something interesting today that said, you know, the team that maybe wins it all this year could be a team that kind of stuck together. And so far, the Cardinals have nobody that has opted out. That could obviously always happen. But it is kind of true that if you took a team that, you know, they didn't make a lot of free agent moves, obviously. So you've got a team that won a division last year, made the NLCS. They're all kind of back together. How do you give credence to that, in the sense that maybe a team like that could gel quicker than others?
It could. I mean, I think that actually works for the Cubs too, right? I mean, right? They didn't do too much to change the roster, whether especially with people going out. Although, again, every team makes some changes, but I don't think either one of them were that big. I think there's a good point to be made there that you don't have any learning process to go on. Nobody has to get comfortable with being where they are or being in the role that they're in. The thing that's a bigger factor to me, guys, is just how many guys are going to end up on the COVID injured list, and right. how many man games are going to be missed, because we can look at the strengths of the teams all that we want, but, you know, if somebody is going to miss 2 or 3 weeks, that's a huge part of the season, 2 or 3 weeks. You know, I mean, that's something huge. That's significant.
Yep. I totally agree. And that's something that, you know, you kind of look for injuries during a regular season that's 162 games. You expect it. You know it's going to happen. But with this, like you said, out of nowhere, a guy could go 3-for-4 one night, and the next 3 weeks be out of the lineup. And you're like, well, wait a minute, where's he at? And I know that they said they're maybe not going to announce who is, you know, COVID testing positive, but you're going to be able to tell, Kevin, when, you know, if Paul Goldschmidt all of a sudden's gone for 3 weeks.
And there's no other injury attached, right? I mean,
right, exactly.
I understand what they're doing, but it's also kind of nonsense, right? Because if somebody has a hammy, they're going to say it's a hammy. If they have an elbow, it's going to be an elbow. And if it doesn't say anything, we all know what it's going to be. I understand what they're trying to do. It's just in a practical sense in sports where injuries are declared and described, like the regular ones. If you get no explanation, well, I think we're all going to jump to the same conclusion. And, you know, I probably shouldn't have limited that last thought, guys, to the COVID injured list. I mean, every injury is 10 times more important now. Every move to the injured list is way more of a loss on the percentage of the season. So, again, somebody pulls a hamstring in the first week, and that's going to cost them 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, that's half the season.
Yes, huge.
Or pretty close to it. So I would expect a lot of randomness. The good teams are still the good teams. The loaded teams still have that advantage. But, you know, with the smaller sample size, everything's just more unpredictable.
Kevin, won't the non-disclosure of what the injury / illness would be as far as being out for an extended period of time, wouldn't that tell us, or our baseball teams gonna start making up injuries
like
for
hockey
for
it'd be an
that
upper body
right.
upper body.
Yeah. It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, short of just BSing everybody. I think we're all going to be able to figure out what it is, right? I mean,
yes.
You know, if you just mysteriously disappear and there's no injury or other illness assigned to it, I think we're all going to come to that conclusion. So maybe, I don't know, maybe teams will kind of cloud the waters a little bit and say, like you said, do the hockey thing. He's got a, you know, since it's a respiratory illness, he got an upper body injury.
Exactly.
And, you know, I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know that they're going to make that big of an effort to cover up. And to be honest with you guys, I think this was just a legal thing to start. I think the players, as we've seen with so many of them, they're gonna say it's okay to tell everybody, and they're going to release their own statements like Freddie Freeman's family did, like we saw with two Royals players today, Ryan O'Hearn and Brad Keller, both were tested positive, and they sent out releases today. I think the players will probably just go ahead and say, yeah, you can tell, you can name it. It's just not that you're not going to be able to really hide it anyway.
Yep. Kevin Wheeler is our guest. Follow him on Twitter at KevinWheeler94. Kevin, you mentioned there that you expect more players to opt out. Now, David Price is a name. I don't think it's going to topple the Dodgers over if he's not playing by opting out. Ryan Zimmerman, another name towards the twilight of his career. Do you expect, I know it's hard to predict, but someone that really makes a big impact, obviously a Mike Trout is one you point sure. to with his wife being pregnant,
right,
but
right.
Do you think there will be that kind of a situation?
Probably. I mean, I wouldn't guarantee it, but I would expect some more guys that we consider big name players to opt out. They're going to see how this goes, and you know, the early results on the testing procedures haven't been really good. I mean, you know, you're just a few days in and you've got testers not showing up on Sunday in some places. You've got tests that were taken on Friday that weren't processed until Tuesday. I mean, this is supposed to be every other day. That's the protocol. Hmm. And, you know, MLB owns the lab that's doing the testing, and, you know, the league and the Players Association are supposedly, you know, in quote partnership on this. I mean, I think they're in agreement on the process, but it's on the teams and it's on Major League Baseball to execute. And you can't just let a holiday weekend get in there and ruin everything when you knew it was a holiday weekend, man. I mean, you know, 4th of July has been on my calendar since the calendar came out.
Yes.
You know, we all knew this was going to be, a holiday weekend. You had to have better plans than, you know, not having FedEx as your delivery service and your secondary service not being able to get the job done. I mean, you can't have those lapses and then keep the confidence of all the players.
Amen. Kevin Wheeler, good stuff. I want to ask you about the designated hitter. As a guy that grew up a Cardinals fan, grew up with the National League, grew up with the strategy of a double switch, a bunt, what is it going to be like for National League fans to witness and taste the designated hitter for the first time?
You're only going to notice it if you want to be mad about it.
Good call.
I mean, you know, I've lived in cities with both sports, right? I mean, obviously I've lived in St. Louis for, geez, is it really? It's like 13, 14 years and covered the team. Lived in Chicago where we had both teams. Grew up in Detroit where we had the American League side of things. And look, it's just not as different as people make it out to be. I mean, we can talk about double switches, but Lon, I mean, I figured out double switches when I was 8 years old.
Exactly.
You know, it wasn't, you know, it's not like it's rocket science. Nobody bunts anymore anyway. So you might as well just throw it out. And by the way, there's nothing worse than the totally random, totally inappropriate pitcher bunt. Like, runner on first base, one out, and bunt. It's stupid. Nobody does that. You know, like, that's not good baseball strategy. That's just, well, my pitcher's a crappy hitter, and I'd rather him do this than hit into a double play.
Sure.
And I think we're going to be avoiding something that this is completely, by the way, the creation of National League teams. This is their fault because they stopped training pitchers as hitters decades ago.
Hmm.
You've got guys that will go to high school and then don't take it at bat at all until they reach the major league. Right, like it's silliness to do that to people. Like, here, don't hit for 10 years, and then, hey, good luck hitting against Noah Syndergaard throwing 104 miles an hour.
Exactly.
You know, like there's just been no sense in it. And even in the minor leagues, like I looked this up because I wanted to see even a team like the Cardinals that is arguably year in and year out one of the very best teams when it comes to player development. Right? I mean, this is that's what they do. They don't always have high draft picks, but, man, they find guys and they develop them like Jack Flaherty and Matt Carpenter. And, I mean, like, this is what they do. And Jack Flaherty had something like 18 at-bats in his life between high school and when he reached the major leagues.
Wow.
18. And this is a starting pitcher you're planning on having play at the major league. Like, it's just not a priority for the team. So why should it be a priority for everybody else? It just, if they don't care about it, why even do it? What you'll notice is fewer goofy, ugly at-bats. You will at times, late in games, wish you had some kind of switch hitter or pinch hitting kind of situation. But again, the guys coming off the bench as pinch hitters are typically not good players either.
Right.
They're typically bench players for a reason. And in this case, you're just going to see, you know, as you get more established with it, you'll see everyday players in those roles and not just, you know, a guy that happens to be the fourth outfielder pinch hitting in the eighth inning.
Great stuff.
Kevin, we broke down the schedules yesterday. Maybe we got a little excited.
we just
wanted to pretend the baseball was coming. But Cardinals, favorable start, favorable end. Cubs, a lot at home early. Six of their first nine series are at home. But I wanted to ask you, instead of asking you to break it all down, the unbalanced part of it where the Cardinals are going to play seven of their 10 games against the Cubs in Wrigley, and the Cubs are going to have to play the White Sox six times where the Cardinals play the Royals six times. Do you have a problem with that or any take on that aspect of it?
Yeah, I mean, there are legit questions about it. I mean, there are no question problems about it. What I think they should have probably done is avoided the extra games for the interleague rivals this year and just let it be the same, like the same number of games against teams in the division, same number of games against the teams from the other division, rather than emphasizing the rivalry, because you can't sell tickets anyway. So what's the freaking point?
That's a great point.
Like I don't understand why, you know, the Cardinals need to get the Royals six times and obviously the Cubs get the White Sox six times. I mean, is it really that big of a deal? Because I remember that if I remember the math correctly, and I'm bad at math, especially live on the radio, so just keep that in mind. But they were going to set it up so it's 10 games against every team in your own division, so that's 40 of the 60. And then you have 20 games left over for the five teams in the other division. Just play them each four times.
I agree.
And, you know, maybe it's all four at one site. Maybe it's two at one at home, two away. I don't care. But that would have been a whole lot more fair. And I know that they're thinking about things other than fair, right? They want, you know, sexier matchups, and they want, you know, more three-game series. Like, the, you know, those tend to work better than four-game series. But I still think that fundamental balance and fairness, teams competing against each other, playing the same quality of schedule, is more important than those other things.
I can't argue with you. The only thing I thought of is maybe, you know, for distance, you know, it's quicker to get to KC, maybe. But, you know, obviously for the Cubs and Sox, it makes sense in terms of getting to each other's park, but you're already traveling everywhere, so what does that matter? Yeah. So I can't argue with that on that one. All right, Kevin, I got one more for you. Derek asked, we were talking about this, I think it was last week, and we mentioned, isn't it always the pitchers are ahead of the hitters? Do you feel like, and as a guy that, you know, caught through the collegiate ranks, do you feel like the pitchers will have the upper edge when we do start baseball? Should we start baseball, we hope?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, you typically see that in spring training, and then you'll see it early in the season too. Although some of that people think has to do with the colder weather, and it's just not as easy to get loose and swing, you know, the way that you would normally. We're not going to have to deal with that this year, but I would anticipate the pitchers are going to be ahead, but I would also anticipate the roster numbers benefiting pitchers as a whole versus hitters as a whole, because you're going to see more pitching changes.
Right.
You're not going to see the same guy for six or seven innings, and you're going to see, you know, I mean, at least at the start, you're probably going to be looking at 15 or 16 man staffs.
Mm.
So, you know, and that's going to be, some of those guys are going to be top prospects that don't have anywhere to play in the minors. So the overall talent level might be higher on what you're seeing on the typical pitching staff. So, I mean, even if you're not thinking that, you know, Gerrit Cole's better than Gerrit Cole normally is, the sheer fact that you're going to have way more pitchers available and probably more frequent and aggressive pitching changes in the middle innings, at least initially, and again, maybe not for Cole or Verlander, but, you know, for your average starter, they have that luxury, and a lot of those guys may not be stretched out to throw more than that anyway.
Kevin Wheeler, the goods. When are we going to hear you again on MLB Network or Sirius XM?
That's a good question. I don't know. probably soon, but it varies. With all the schedule buildup, we're all kind of up in the air and waiting to see what we're doing. I just wrapped up doing a bunch of, I think I did five shows for Adam Schein on Mad Dog here in the last couple of weeks, so been keeping me busy.
That's awesome.
As far as I know, the only thing that's on my schedule next up is a coaching trip to Alabama, and I'm leaving for that on Thursday. So that's kind of why I don't have any radio set up for the next week. I'm going to be on the road anyway.
Well, Kevin, your skills need to be on the air, and we love that you come on with us. It does a lot of good for our show, my friend. Kevin Wheeler, at Kevin Wheeler 94. Can't thank you enough, my friend. And when we get going finally in baseball, we'll have you jump back on if that works.
You know, anytime, man. Always a good time.
Thank you, buddy. Kevin Wheeler, great stuff. MLB Network, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Radio, KMOX, was on 101 ESPN. They made an idiotic move. Sorry, I shouldn't say that about a...
It's true.
Yeah, I would not get rid of a guy like that. I'll put it that way. Not with his skill. And we always talk to him mainly about baseball. He can break down any sport. And that's why he does Mad Dog. That's why he does SiriusXM. I mean, he is skilled at all of that. He's been doing it a long time, and I love his takes on everything. All right, got to take a quick break. Back to wrap up Hour 1. It's The Drive. Game Day Spirit, the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, is now open 7 days a week at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign. Head in, check out their newly redesigned floor plan with their selection of buy one, get one free T-shirts, along with other items from top brands such as Nike, Champion, Columbia, and more. For the best selection of Fighting Illini gear in town, head down to Game Day Spirit, 1602 South Neal Street in Champaign. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Imagine a generation.
A generation of respect.
Of acceptance. Of diversity.
Special Olympics athletes are leading a revolution of inclusion.
If inclusion is your thing, let us know.
Sign the inclusion pledge at jointherevolution.org.
Relive some of the greatest moments in Cardinals history with Cardinals Classic Games.
Here's the pitch
from no-hitter performances.
Swinging a ground ball to third.
Victories.
That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
It's Cardinals Classic Games on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Tonight at 6:15, the June 2nd, 2019 game against the Cubs on ESPN 93.5.
Amana AC units have been rated as the best and most efficient air conditioners in the world, and ABC Heating and Air is proud to carry their product line. As a certified Amana dealer since 1971, ABC raises the standards of comfort and reliability, making sure they keep your family healthy and comfortable all summer long. As you spend more time around the house this summer, don't let the sweltering heat get to you. Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400. Plus, join ABC's Service Club for just $198 a year. Get an AC check, furnace check, and exclusive discounts.
Wait, Lon, it's not drive time yet.
I can't wait any longer, Derek. These deals are too good to be true.
What kind of deals?
Well, the best prices on new Hondas, used Hondas, pre-owned trucks, BMWs, and so much more.
Wow, big time.
Can you and Trevor handle the show today? I've got to get down to Honda BMW at the corner of Neal and Burwash in Savoy.
Sure. But can't you search for vehicles on their website?
Oh, that's right. What's the address again?
They're online at drivechampagne.com.
The Jeremy Warner Show, weekday mornings from 9 to 11, right here on ESPN 93.5.
We've got a barn burner in Columbus. It is The Drive. Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise in studio now. We're just all over the place today, hopping around, going from chair to chair. Men of Mackey giving Boeheim's army everything they can handle right now, Derek. It's a two-point game, is that right?
Did Boudreaux make the free throw?
I think he did.
Okay.
And now it's Elam time.
Elam ending's coming up. Boeheim's Army's the three seed in all
of this. Wow. This is just so typical Purdue, right? I mean, just good luck. That's why they're the kind of team I never want to face in the Big Ten tournament. Or if I was an NCAA, like if I was a one seed and you see Purdue on the 8-9, you're like, no. Because they're just going to do everything right. Now, they may not out-athlete you. They may not outscore you in terms of making it a track meet, but they're going to just make it a win that you have to earn every time. And that's what I love about this Purdue team. So this Men of Mackey team. And right now it's a two-point game, and we'll see what happens there. It's going to be an interesting ending. I don't know who else plays tonight. Did you guys go over that? I think you were going to, and then I think I was
looking at the bracket. It wasn't giving me days.
I interrupted you, I think.
Nah, that wouldn't happen.
When I stepped in to interrupt you. Yeah, Evan Boudreaux just had a three-point play there for Men of Mackey to cut it to two. it's funny to me. I was telling you guys, and I know you guys mentioned this on the way up when I was driving up, that the Syracuse team plays a 2-3 zone, but why wouldn't you? That's all they played.
Fair enough.
In college, isn't that weird? You wouldn't think that a high school kid would want to go to a university that plays a 2-3 zone. But
unless you stink.
Well, that's true. I guess it could work the other way. If you're just all about offense and not very good on defense, maybe that's a good way to hide yourself. But I always wondered, like, NBA teams,
oh, right.
if they said, okay, now hold on a second, he's really guard good, but can you guard anybody? Yeah. So I always wondered if that would be a negative to go to Syracuse, but certainly Jim Boeheim gets as many as he can. And didn't we just go ahead and conclude that he's the oldest coach in college? I think we had that chat one day, and I think he is.
He still has kids playing.
He does?
He just had one of his kids play on the team. Was it last year?
Or? Yeah, oh. Buddy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buddy Boeheim? That was his name?
I was telling you how I was in an AAU event, and it wasn't during a live period, wasn't during a recruiting period, and he was there in the stands. I was like,
oh.
Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, he had a kid late in life that he can always recruit.
That's right. I remember you and I talking about that. See, that's brilliant. That's brilliant on his end.
Wait, so he's 76.
He's 76?
So if his kid's like 19, that means he had the kid at, what, like
56, 57?
Wow.
Good for Jim.
So we have, is today the 8th? No, it's not.
Today's the 7th.
Why isn't the schedule right?
I don't know.
This might be the last game of the day.
First team to 76 wins, and it's 68-66 Boeheim's Army.
And we get to take a break to see most of the Elam. I'm not upset by that.
First game tomorrow, Big X versus Red Scare. Big X has your boy Khalil Iverson.
Do they really?
And the winner of that will play the winner of House and Pain.
Oh, I don't want to face him again. Come on. I don't want to face him again. All right, listen, next hour we're going to start the hour with Malcolm Hill, former Illini, speaking to the TBT. We'll ask him about the game against Carmen's Crew. We'll do it next. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.